welcome to the Absolute Unit Podcast. Joshua Jenkins here with Brandon Lansdowne, as always, and appreciate you guys listening. I think before we get started, we want to plug a few things here. We got some great events coming up that we're going to be involved in. One is a conference that my church is putting on, the Christendom Conference, and it's going to be about building up households in the church and things like that, household life, and the need for that to build new Christendom and things of that nature. So it's going to be a good event. Free food. There'll be an after party with Majesty's Men podcast with Brandon and I and some others. So if you are interested in coming to that, just go to the Christendomconference.com, Christendomconference.com, and sign up for free. And then, so that's April 1st, then coming up in May, I don't remember the dates, but sometime in May, is Jared Sparks. He's a friend of ours on the Majesty's Men. He's a pastor in Illinois, a great guy. He's going to be putting on his annual men's intensive where we float down a river in, what's the river?
Current.
Yeah. Current River?
Well, it's Current River and Jack's Fork.
Jack's Fork.
Yeah, you float on both of them.
In Eminence, Missouri. So we camp out there for a couple nights and float the river and have some talks and food and good time. So that one, go to the website. I think that's shepherdscrook.co, and you can find the information on that. That one's obviously not free, but you can find the info on that there. It'll be a great time. And then also, we've never talked about it, but if you need coffee, I know a guy. Reformation Coffee by none other than Brandon Lansdowne. He is the owner and the roaster, all things. And it's great. It's the best coffee I've ever had. So if you need coffee beans, where can they go to order some coffee beans?
ReformationCoffee.com. You can find the origins that we have there and some merch. We've just recently moved our site over from Wix to the Majesty's Men, and so new site and still working out some kinks, but you should be able to find everything that you need over there.
Yep, highly recommend going with some Reformation coffee. So, well, with that, we want to talk today first about an article that really had resurfaced. This is an older article from 2017, and it's on the dailymail.com, so, you know, they can put out some comical articles, as in ridiculous. But the title of the article says, "Too much exercise can kill you, especially if you're a white man. Study finds 7.5 hours a week of fitness doubles," in all caps, "your risk of heart disease." So this is an alarming title. If you're just scrolling through the social media, you see it pop up. What in the world? More likely to be at risk, double likely to be at risk of heart disease if you're a white man and you exercise 7.5 hours a week. So we're going to walk through this and give you our thoughts on it. It says here, researchers in Chicago assessed exercise patterns over the course of 25 years. They found that very active white men are 86% more likely to experience a buildup of plaque in the heart arteries by middle age. This was not the case in black men, based on 3,175 participants. And then it says, too much exercise can kill you. Very scary. Scientists have revealed. That's the scary part to me. Not that too much exercise can kill you, but when they say scientists have revealed, that's what frightens me. It says, white men who work out at least 7.5 hours a week are nearly twice as likely to suffer from heart disease than those who do a moderate amount, a new study shows. And the next paragraph here, it's cut off on my paper, so Brandon, what's it say next?
Yeah, there? It goes on to say that researchers in Chicago assessed that exercise patterns over the course of 25 years, made the surprising discovery that very active white men are 86% more likely to experience a buildup of plaque in the heart arteries by middle age. Doesn't affect black men. It was suggested high levels of exercise over time cause stress on the arteries, leading to higher coronary artery calcification. However, scientists warn people should not stop exercising.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting. They scare you with this heart artery plaque buildup if you exercise a lot, and yet they say, don't stop exercising. Why would they say that?
It scared me. I mean, like, you know, I mean, I think that's us. That's, you know.
Literally shaking
right
now.
Yeah, right.
So to me, like when they say you should not stop exercising after telling us white men are going to die, I think they want to kill white men. Hey, you're going to die. Don't stop exercising.
And that's the end of this podcast episode.
Oh, man. It says the team from University of Illinois, Chicago, and Kaiser Permanente, the physical activity trajectories of 3,175 black and white participants, cardio study, and assess the presence of CAC, that's coronary artery calcification. The presence and amount of CAC is a significant warning sign to doctors that a patient may be at risk for developing heart disease and a signal to consider early preventative care. Dr. Deepika Ladu, assistant professor of physical therapy in the UIC College of Applied Health Sciences, said, quote, "We expect to see that higher levels of physical activity over time would be associated with lower levels of CAC," end quote. However, they found that at the top level of exercise, there was no extra risk for black men, but an 86% increased risk for white men. Unique to the new study is the evaluation of long-term exercise patterns from young adulthood into middle age. The study group had 8 follow-up examinations over 25 years, from 1985 through 2011, starting at age 18 to 30 and finishing at 43 to 55. Researchers split participants into 3 distinct groups based on physical activity patterns. Group 1 was defined as exercising below the national guidelines of less than 150 minutes a week, Group 2 as meeting the national guidelines of 150 minutes a week, and Group 3 was exercising 3 times above the national guidelines over 450 minutes a week. Overall, those in Group 3 were 27% more likely than before, or than those in Group 1, to develop CAC by middle age. When these findings were divided by race and gender, they found that white men were at the highest risk, as they were 86% more likely to have CAC. There was no higher odds of CAC for black participants who exercised at this level, and while there was a similar trend for white women, it was not statistically significant. Professor Ladu added, because the study results show a significantly different,
a different level of risk between black and white participants based on long-term exercise trajectories, the data provides rationale for further investigation, especially by race, into the other biological mechanisms for CAC risk in people with very high levels of physical activity. Goes on to be quoted to say high levels of exercise over time may cause stress on the arteries, leading to higher CAC. However, this plaque buildup may well be the more stable kind and thus less likely to rupture and cause heart attack, which was not evaluated in this study. And then finishes up with saying, however, it does not suggest that anyone should stop exercising.
Wow. So
what's the point?
Exactly. You start this article with this inflammatory, frightening title. And then you end it with, but, you know, basically carry on, you know, keep nothing to see here. Ignore everything we've just said. Why in the world would this even be a thing? Why would they publish an article like this?
Yeah, I think that's the bigger, more pressing question is, why have this really scary headline and then, you know, throw out some stats and, you know, just some findings and then say, you know, it's probably not going to kill you, so keep working out, all the way down at the bottom.
Yeah, I think they realize, you know, the way it is, the people consume news articles is not actually to read the news articles. It's just to read the headline and then share it and spread the headline and think that that rests the case because the headline says this, therefore this is true. Mm-hmm. When all you need to do is just read further. You know, one, there's a comment on here on the article and it says that the study results were reported as odds ratios. Odds ratios do not translate directly into percent more likely. The percent more likely would be far less than 86%. It is too early to draw any conclusions from the study, blah, blah, blah. Additional confounding variables have not been explored yet, which is pretty important in something like this.
Yeah.
Additional variables. Researchers also do not know the implications of this plaque buildup. It could be a more stable type, unlikely to break off. So the point is they know people aren't going to read the article. The Daily Mail, the ones who, you know, not the guys that did the research, they're doing their own research studies. But the Daily Mail who wrote the article wrote it with the headline like that for a reason, for an agenda that they have. Which, what might an agenda be?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's the thing that we have to get at is there, you know, what's the agenda? Because, you know, there is one. And, you know, I'm convinced that the agenda is that, you know, the powers that be, the people who have influence through media and politics want men to be weak and docile and easy to control.
Yeah. Well, let's hold that thought. Let's come back to that.
Okay.
The other thing I thought of when I was considering this article was that not only does the news have, everyone knows the news has such an agenda.
Sure.
But also, you know, scientists, research people, they're not neutral either. They have a worldview and they're coming to the table. They're coming to their research with presuppositions, even the best of them. It's just the way it is. There's no neutrality. However, I don't know the details behind this study, but we do know that most scientific studies and research are heavily dependent on getting the funding to be able to do it, especially over, you know, this one was 25 years and it's still inconclusive.
Yeah.
So that type of thing takes money that researchers don't have. They're reliant on their funders. So the question is, and I don't know who it is, but who is funding this study? Mm-hmm. And so often researchers who are dependent upon the funding know that those funding it have an agenda. They have kind of a result that they want to see justified by some research. And so they'll find a way to come up with the wanted answer or the wanted research results. So you have to keep those things in mind when reading articles that seem ridiculous. If it seems ridiculous and smells ridiculous, it might be ridiculous. Also, I think about the fact that any sort of research conclusions, scientific conclusions, that, at least according to the headline, want to tell me something that I know is in some ways contrary to the biblical worldview and the way that God made men and people, we should automatically be very, very suspicious of that and pretty much reject it, because we know that God made men to work and to work very, very hard, to work 6 days a week. And there's all kinds of physical labor jobs today and especially throughout history that have been, you know, really legitimate physical labor that's like working out all day. And yet that's exactly what God made us to do. That it's something God made our bodies to be able to handle.
Right.
And so if someone tells me, hey, working hard is dangerous for you, well, the Bible tells me that it's not, and that's good for me. And then I consider if there is some legitimate bad sort of plaque buildup and heart in these heart arteries they're talking about, and I know my presupposition is that hard work is good because the Bible tells me that, My thought then is, well, what's the other variables? If there is legitimate plaque buildup that's bad, then it must be due to some other sort of variable, because it can't be the hard work that's bad.
Right.
But the combination of other negative things, which diet, things like that, could contribute to.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's really a fair and valid assumption or assessment of, you know, as far as motivation and intent goes, is, yeah, I mean, there's bound to be some ulterior motive, you know, to to reach, you know, a desired end goal, and, you know, coming across these findings in this study and then putting it out there. And yeah, certainly that's probably most likely not coming from a biblical worldview. When these are the findings that you're putting out, that, you know, that we're not built for strength or hard work, and that, you know, we should really be afraid of that, and, you know, probably just become much more dependent, and again, you know, docile, and you know, just go to the, again, not knowing who the funder is, but, you know, just let's just say it's, you know, somebody who's involved in, you know,
the
I was going to say the food industry. So
yeah.
Just just, you know, eat the things that we tell you to eat, you know, go to the supermarket and just pick up all the processed stuff and, you know, and the bugs and all of that. And, you know, don't work hard, don't exert energy, don't be self-reliant. Yeah, so I don't think it's a stretch at all. I think it would be interesting to know who was, you know, you bring up an interesting point. It would be good to know who was funding this study.
Well, one commenter, Charlie6067, Kansas City, he says, was this study sponsored by the Lazy Boy Chair Company?
Nice.
Oh, man. But yeah, I mean, the enemy, or I guess not the enemy, but the target of this article is the white man. That's the target that they want to scare into limiting their fitness. And you hit at it a minute ago, and I said we'll come back to it. But you were talking about how they want the white man. You're not just white men, but strong, masculine, capable men. They want us weak. They want us. They're afraid of us. They're afraid of true masculinity.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. You know, I think that if you're a strong, confident, competent man, then you're self-reliant, then you're harder to control. And good friend and fellow church member of mine, Matt Reynolds from Barbell Logic, he says you need to make yourself harder to kill.
Yeah.
And you know, his answer to that is through strength and doing hard things, and, you know, talks about voluntary hardship a lot. And so, yeah, I think that you know, you've got weak men in power who want to hold on to power, and the best way to do that is for everyone else to be weak.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, you shared with me a clip of Tucker Carlson. Maybe some of you guys listening have seen it, but why don't you share with us kind of what he was talking about in that clip?
Yeah, essentially,
it's what we're talking about.
Essentially, that is that. You know, it's weak, scared, you know, envious men who vie and seek to hold on to power, and in doing so, in their own insecurities, you know, they want to tear down others and make them weak so that they can be easier to control. And I think that's, I mean, it certainly seems to be the case and the things that we can observe, that there aren't any, you know, physically strong or even, you know, emotionally strong, competent men who are in, you know, politics or places of leadership that, you know, are really kind of just exerting their strength and their masculinity in what they're doing. They're, you know, they're kind of weak and, you know, sniveling men. I mean, like Tucker goes off. It's a pretty, yeah, I think it's the clip's like 60 seconds and it's, you know, it's pretty savage all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's onto something.
No, definitely. I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking about a couple different things. One, you don't see, like you mentioned, you don't, where are the physically fit and visibly strong men in positions of leadership in our government? I cannot think of one. Maybe there's a couple of guys here and there, but
yeah,
present day.
No.
Arnold Schwarzenegger had his run.
I was just thinking of him. Yeah.
My guy.
Yeah, he blew it though, man. Like he blew it with the pandemic and his response.
Yeah.
You know, I think we see some of that. I don't know. I haven't really thought about this. He just came to mind. I mean, like we see glimpses of that. I'll put it that way with DeSantis, but just because, you know, he seems to not be willing to back down from a fight, mm-hmm. and to stand up for truth. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know beyond that.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's just you can count on one hand, really. I mean, maybe in some states around the country, there's at the state level, certainly there's going to be. But even here in Missouri, you know, one of the things, if any of you guys listening actually, you know us beyond just the podcast, there's presently an abolition, a mm-hmm. couple abolition bills in the state of Missouri. And we've got a great state senator, Mike Moon, mm-hmm. who's a solid Christian man. He has stood up and faced all kinds of lies and slander and career threats for not only the abortion issue, standing firmly on it from a biblical worldview, but, you know, like sex change surgeries on minors he has fought against, and all those important issues, the most important things. And so he's got an abolition bill which has just recently this week been assigned to a committee. So the way it works, they file a bill and it's up to the Senate, the lead senator of the Senate, to assign the bill to a committee. Then that committee will have a hearing on the bill if they so choose. And I don't know if you saw this, Brandon, but the committee that it was assigned to, Mike Moon's in that committee. It's made up of eight other people, so nine total. All other eight members, which are senators of that committee, are women.
Mm.
And some of them are, you know, I'll lay aside my thoughts on women in politics. Some of them are conservative, so-called Republican women with good intentions. They're not like a bunch of Democrat women. There's a couple of Democrats. But the question, I see that and I say, where are the men?
Yeah.
Why are the men not standing up and fighting for the weak and those who desperately need them to? It's this issue applied to that arena of men are told you can't be strong in this area. You have to defer to women in this area. You should be weak. They're cowered into weakness.
Yeah.
Instead of just being strong and having a fortitude and courage. And so, yeah, it goes back to the point of there are women in power and weak men in power.
Mm-hmm.
And the threat to that is strong men and good strong men.
So there are women and women in power.
So so how do the weak persons in power defeat the threat of the strong man? Well, the easiest way is to get him to sabotage himself.
Yeah.
To get him to weaken himself, to make him afraid. And with things like this and lots of other things, but
yeah, I mean, we've talked about it a ton of times. It's just, you know, how how much more ineffective are you in virtually every area of life if you are weak and fat and, you know, you can't go, you know, at a reasonably fast pace, you know, 20, 30 steps without being winded, you know, if you can't defend your wife and your children, if you can't fight off an attacker, or if you can't, you know, maybe not even just those extreme examples, if you can't exert strength in, you know, anything that needs to be done around the house. You know, I saw a tweet just came to mind this week. It was a really simple thing that a wife put out of her husband, just thanking him that, like, he had the knowledge and the strength to lift up and install this microwave in the kitchen. And so
the bar is so low, guys.
Yeah, right. I mean, it was a good sized microwave, no, but still, yeah, like, I'm just, that was the first thing that came to mind, you know. Or I guess, you know, me this week is, you know, I'm swapping out water heaters in my house and they're not light. And so, you know, just to be able to exert physical strength, and also, you know, mental and emotional strength, and not to mention just all the other added benefits that we've talked about in just terms of confidence and the way that you carry yourself, the way that others see you. Yeah, they, you know, I think there are a large number of people that really, they want to see that destroyed. They want to take that out of men.
Yeah. Yep. And I think, you know, I'm thinking about this article again too, and the fact that they throw out this scare tactic of, you got these guys who are working out a good amount, 7.5 hours a week, and yet there's this invisible, possible but not really enemy.
Mm-hmm.
It's this, and so what the suggestion is, hey, yeah, there may be preventative care you want to look into.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a lot of the tactic from, I guess, kind of the medical side, or you can probably see it in a lot of different areas, but they... When you probably look at these guys who worked out this much, they're probably the best fit looking, the strongest looking guys out of all the different groups of people who worked out different amounts a week. And yet, they look at that, they're frightened, so they throw out an invisible enemy. And something like a heart issue, that sounds really scary to guys, to anybody. I mean,
yeah.
Your heart's a serious thing. And so you throw out something like that to get him to self-restrain himself.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
To voluntarily step back from his physical prowess. Kind of like the whole tactic that you see in the social media world of, you know, you the tactic of trying to get people to self-censor at just the threat and possibility of doxing or or having censorship imposed upon you. But if you can get the strong men to self-sabotage, self-censor, that's a good strategy from the enemy. And we got to be aware that's our strategy, not fall for it, and continue working hard.
Yeah, and if that wasn't enough, we, you know, can't get into the article because it's behind a paywall, but this week, another one that I saw from the Wall Street Journal, just to touch on it really quickly, they're coming after our kids as well. So it says, cake could be the secret to teaching children about healthy eating habits. A more permissive approach to meals helps children learn to self-regulate, some dietitians say.
Permissive approach.
Yeah.
What is this, like, unschooling applied to eating? Just let your kid eat what they want.
Yeah.
And they'll excel in eating what they want.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, it's the same tactic, just... you know, maybe a bit more sinister in going after children. You know, if we can get kids to be, if we can get them young, you know, get them fat fast, and we can control them their whole life.
And that's the other tactic too, is they want to go for the kids of the strong guys, of the men, because that's, you know, that is such a threatening thing when they threaten that. It's very a scary thing to think about.
Right.
And so, you know, what we've seen in our society is the raising up an idolatry of children and giving children all these kinds of adult-like rights, mm-hmm. which they don't ought not to be having because mm-hmm. they should be under their discipline and care of their parents' authority. They're not an authority in themselves with adult-like rights. And so if the state, if the enemy or whoever it is can give the kids adult status, mm-hmm. that takes the authority away from the father.
Yep.
And so as fathers and men, we can't give that up and can't allow and just voluntarily play into that because of what the culture is going to say when they see a father who disciplines and leads and instructs his family instead of being led by his children and led by what they want. So yeah. The attacks are all around and the threats are in places that can be frightening. But we have to have strong hearts.
Yeah. Strong hearts and strong bodies.
Steel hearts and steel abs.
There you go.
That's what I tell my boys when we do ab workouts together.
Yeah.
Steel heart, no, stout heart and steel abs. That's the thing. Stout heart and steel abs. Nice. Well, Brandon, we have a challenge this week.
Indeed, yeah. Why don't you present the challenge and then I'll add a little bit to it since it's something that you've already done.
Yeah, well, we have talked in the past about intermittent fasting, the 16-8. You know, fast 16, eat 8 hours. And I did a couple 24-hour fasts this past week and was really great. Obviously, a little more challenging than 16-8, but I felt a lot of benefit from it. So that'll be the challenge this week is just do at least one 24-hour fast. Mm-hmm. And again, like we've talked about with those things is embrace the difficulty of it because it's going to get hard after a certain point. Know that and just embrace it. And don't be tempted to think, okay, how can I ease the struggle here?
Yeah.
Just embrace it and go for it.
Yeah. Expect it to be hard because it's hard. Don't look for ways to make it more bearable. Just embrace the suck. And for anyone who has any questions, because I see these all the time, even this week, any questions about, okay, well, what can I have during my fast? My really simple hard and fast rule is coffee, tea, or water, plain. No milk, no sugar, no artificial sweetener, no honey, no maple syrup, no almond milk, no anything. Coffee, tea, and water. And you know, go back and listen to our episode on intermittent fasting. We talk a lot about all just techniques and the different methods and all of those things. And just expect it to be hard. And, you know, you can, you know, there are little, I don't know that I'd call them tricks, but, you know, you can drink a lot of water and stay satiated and kind of trick yourself into thinking that you're full. But otherwise, yeah, just expect it to be hard. And embrace it.
Yeah. Because I found, you know, I pretty much have maintained just a lifestyle of a 16-8 intermittent fast. But I've noticed, like in my experience, is that if I am not intentionally embracing it, I'm just kind of assuming that it's happening, then I'll end up compromising here and there, mm-hmm. little things that it's just like, why did I do that? Why did I eat that little thing when I could have just waited another couple hours?
Yeah.
But if I'm intentionally embracing and thinking about what I'm doing, it's no problem. You know, I can do it easy. So that's definitely with the 24, you gotta do that. And if you do that, you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, so give it a shot. You know, I guess this is kind of, I just thought of this. This is, you know, assuming that, you know, maybe you've got a little bit of practice with fasting. You know, if you've never ever done it once in your life and you want to jump into a 24-hour, I mean, it can be done. It's not going to kill you. But, you know, it might be a bit of a shock to your system. So, you know, as I've always said and will continue to say, just listen to your body. You know, if you're about to pass out and you're just, you know, you're all jittery and shaking out of your skin, then yeah, you should probably eat something if you've never done this before. But you know, also we've talked about this in other episodes, like human body is able to do a lot more than
probably be okay
than we think.
Yeah.
So maybe just get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And see how long you can ride it out.
Yeah. Well, I think I forgot to ask you this the last episode or two, but any music you've been rocking out to during the workouts?
Yeah, I was just thinking of that. We haven't talked about that in a while. I have been listening to a lot of different stuff, mostly, no surprise here to those of you guys who know me, but mostly metal. And so
very surprised. Wow.
Listening to a band called Grave Declaration. And it's kind of a symphonic death metal.
Symphonic, but it's death metal. But that it's, seems like a
but it's Christian
contradiction.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. So Grave Declaration, and then one other one I'll share really quick, just because I think these guys are doing pretty fun and funny things with their music. The name of the band is called When the Broken Burn. And they've got this song that starts out with this monologue, or really a dialogue, between Mean Gene Okerlund and Macho Man Randy Savage. And it's also metal, though. But like, at least I know these guys are having fun. That's mostly what I've been listening to.
Well, nothing really new for me that I haven't talked about. It's been a lot of Project 86 the last couple of weeks.
All right.
It's been they're just good workout music for me. So, you know, every time you mention one of these bands, I love the names, I love the album titles, I love the song titles.
Yeah.
I'll look at the lyrics, and all the lyrics are great.
Yeah.
But then I actually listen to it, and I just it's hard, man.
I'm always on the search to find you something that you're gonna like. I've started to kind of figure it out. I'm dialing it in. I'm going to find the thing.
Well, good luck. So.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I hope that helps you as you seek to make gains for the new Christendom. So until next time, happy lifting.